From our dusty cellars, a popular show on Sunday evenings is Heartbeat. It airs at the same time that the care home nurses check if its audience still has one. It's the final countdown.
That was a real late night American TV show. It was actually delivered exactly like Conan O'Brien would deliver that.
It was, I mean, it was inspired by that type of joke. And it was like, yeah, that's that one's clean, but also mean. It's mean to the elderly. And
it was,
true.
It was almost Rodney Dangerfield-esque.
Many of the jokes that are mean to the elderly are true, and that's kind of why they're mean, and it's also why they work. And it's universal. The only people who it's not universal to as a condition are people who are going to die young so that they don't get old, and like that's worse. So I feel like we should be able to make fun of the elderly.
Yeah, they've lived a long, full life. Like we always say that's like you've lived a long, full life, as in like well done to you. It's not you've lived a long, full life. I should be allowed to make fun of you.
But that is.
We right? should be allowed, like, right?
Yeah. I mean, we are. It's, I mean, there's no, again, the only people who don't get to be old are those who are far less fortunate. So, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm perfectly fine to make fun of Kurt Cobain, for example, even though he died at 27.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot of Kurt Cobain jokes. I suppose because it's edgy. People love being edgy.
Mm. They do. Yeah, I mean, me included.
Oh, big time.
I like it. I'm Manus Cronin. Joining us this week, as always, Yo-Yo Ma, famed international cellist or legendary playground insult. He'll decide today, Gavin Carter.
Hello, everyone.
Also joining us, Startup Ramen, refreshing Czech Pilsner or discount Polish noodles. He'll be investigating today, Jack Toner.
Startup Ramen, that's good. Excellent,
well done.
kind of new format, love it.
I'm trying it, and I will warn you, this dirt one doesn't fit into it at all, because I tried and failed. Like the Sun newspaper, pining for an empire on which the sun never sets, by adorning page 3 with a massive set.
Sometimes it just needs to hit Belfast. The ear right. Sometimes it just sounds good enough to make me laugh.
Yeah, well, you know, massive sets, never sets. That's the same word twice.
It is. Yeah. It's as George Lucas would say, it's like poetry. It rhymes, you know?
Yeah. It rhymes, you know?
That's almost as good as rhyming mansion with Wisconsin.
With Wisconsin, thank you, T-Pain. No, wait, was it T-Pain or Lil Wayne?
It was. They rhyme, interestingly.
They do rhyme, yeah. I just to double click, it's not an agenda item, but if you do watch the George Lucas episode, Star Wars Episode 1, behind the scenes, where he's like explaining why this film is so brilliantly written, it's just spectacular. It is honestly a man who cannot see because he is so far up his own arse.
And like, he seems to have had even bigger plans for Jar Jar, if you watch it. It's going to be the key to everything, you know?
I just really feel like we need to get involved. But whenever Jar Jar is not on screen, people need to be asking, where's Jar Jar?
And you could see all the people around him. And like, I don't know if it's just in retrospect that it looks like they kind of know but can't say, or if they really are drinking the Kool-Aid, but they're like,
the background staff in those videos are like, I think there should be a Harvard Business Review article written of, because it's such a great example of like not being allowed to say no. Or it's just not worth challenging the boss.
Worked well for Pol Pot.
Yes, I suppose it worked well for the man.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe Cambodia as a thriving organization worthy of case study review. But, I mean, maybe it is now, but certainly not during the time of Pol Pot. I do think how that, like, if, and I mean, we talk a lot. There's a lot of talk out there. Right? Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? There's a lot of talk out there. About woke culture and cancel culture.
Oh my goodness. Are you going to go there?
And I honestly think that it might have improved Star Wars Episode 1 because, like, it might have taken out a lot of the racist caricatures who were also the worst characters. You know, like, if he was like, man, George, you can't put Jar Jar in there, like, I'm pretty sure that's a racist caricature, he might be like, Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Oh, gonna have to ride around this big Jar Jar shaped hole in the story.
Yeah, I wonder though, if he hadn't had racist caricature to fall back on, would it have been like just, I don't know what he'd have had him be like. Maybe he'd have embraced the fish thing a little more.
Yeah.
What do fish sound like?
Yeah, sounds pretty good with a bag of chips and salt and vinegar. That's what sounds good to me. Speaking of woke culture, let's make fun of the elderly a little more. As we get older, we know the real way to get our dick wet is to flush sitting down. I couldn't fit that in anywhere, but it did continue to make fun.
I was going down a bit of a hole there, Manus. That's a great, in case of emergency, tell this joke.
You can only use it once.
You can only use it once, but in case of emergency, break the glass.
you break that glass at your peril in a professional setting is the only thing.
Very good.
Sandra's making a fucking tit of herself at this meeting. Completely lost. Clearly lost her notes. I should probably bail her out here. Hey, guys. Do you ever notice, you know, the way that, like, when you just cause it, right?
What are we drinking?
Oh, good question. Good question.
Loads. We've got the Curious Society Immortal Game. It's an American wheat beer, clocking in about 5%. And it's got a picture of a fox and a dog playing chess on it.
Okay, it's already a 10 from me. You know, it's got my favorite things. Foxes, dogs, and chess.
You reckon the fox is like going to beat the dog pretty handy out the door?
Big time.
Chess?
Judging from the position?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
I think Fox has mate in 4. Yeah.
I think you're right. They do a lot of mating, yeah.
Based on this horrendous sounds I can tend to hear outside my bedroom window. I assume that's what they're doing. You ever hear a fox like just like howling?
It sounds like a child's dying.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, it's mad how much it sounds like a human being in pain.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard one of these.
There's foxes that live. There's a lane out the back near where my bedroom is. And yeah, foxes tend to have sex out there. And yeah, human being in pain. And it's amazing how easily you can drown out the sound of human suffering.
Amazing, necessary for survival. Frankly, useful for many of my hobbies. We don't need to get in there.
And for legal reasons. It's advisable that we don't.
So has anyone had a go at this crooked stave of the mating foxes and the dogs?
The Curious Society.
Curious Society. Was there even a beer called Crooked Stave? Was that
there
even
was
a thing?
Yes, there was. Which is why I thought that you had gotten the beer wrong and not that was just a cool new phrase you were trying out. I haven't given this the best chance. Full disclosure. And I love full disclosure. We had the Penta, which is like the bottle of wine in a can, essentially, 16% milkshake beer in the fridge, ready to go. However, James Belfast, surprising us all, to be honest, did not show up and gave no notice. And we know that he wants to drink that beer, so we decided to switch to something else. So this isn't at its coldest, and I think that something like this, for me, and I think that something like this does need to be. The only other thing I can compare it to is the only other American wheat beer I think that I've had. Not a wheat ale. Oh no, wait. What was there's a little one that's an American wheat beer, I believe. That's absolutely delicious and about €2.
Yeah, I can't remember. Is that marketed as like an American wheat pale ale? Isn't it marketed something kind of funny? Or
it might be. Yeah, yeah.
That is a really nice beer. Yeah.
It is a really nice beer, and it's very different in style to this. I think it's a bit cloudier. Personally, I prefer it. This should be served colder, then I have it, definitely. But even still, I'm not a huge fan of it. Because it's not cold, I can taste it more, almost. And it's exceptionally wheaty. Which for a wheat beer, you probably want. But for me, I'm not sure I want it.
Funny enough, I also hate wheat beer. So I was expecting this to be crap. But it is, for me, I've had this in the fridge for days. And it really, it actually goes down pretty smooth. I'm quite liking this because it's not, I feel like wheat beer, is that like your like Blue Moon and shit like that? Is that wheat beers?
That would be a wheat beer, and Hoegaarden as
well. Hoegaarden, yeah. Yeah. I tend to think that this even just looking at it isn't as cloudy as those. Mm. And the taste of it isn't hitting it that as bad for me.
Maybe it doesn't by the time look cloudy I get at all from here.
No, it's completely transparent. It's well, not completely. It's not water, but it's, you know, you can, it passes or fails the finger test, but it's, you can see your fingers.
It definitively passes or fails.
Yeah.
So we may have a disagreement here, and that's good because we don't want to agree with each other too much. Funny you should say that. I haven't that beer we're not drinking, the Aldi or Little One, whichever it was, I haven't had that in ages, and I remember really liking it. And part of it is because I'm not just drinking every single day anymore. Yeah. So there's a lot less. Sometimes then when it's like, man, it's time to drink, it's like it's been long enough that it's like, man, I could sure go for a Budweiser now.
Yeah. It's like, I completely get what you mean. Like, haven't eaten out in a while. What should I have? Oh, man, I'm actually really craving a McDonald's. You know? Yeah. What not?
Like, you don't need to change it up, really. It's just like, yeah, this is nice. You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's it. And hey, if you're not thirsty enough for a Budweiser, you're not fucking thirsty.
Yeah, there it is. What do we have on the agenda?
Oh, interesting question. Oh, well, we could rehash all the stuff we never got to last week.
Oh yeah, we had a robust agenda last week, didn't we?
We did. The only one I can actually remember is Leinster House Sports Day, and I can't really remember what that was about. I just remember listening to myself say it when I was editing that that masterpiece that came out a day late last week. it turns out trying to put there's invariably when you have multiple tracks coming in, they'll be a bit off. But when you have multiple tracks of multiple people joining at different times, they're miles off.
Yeah, see, I did include the all audio one as a hope that would help, but
it did help for reference. It just the quality on that tends to be so poor. For some reason, Ben was coming through poor no matter what I did. I also had to it was quite harmless, but I kept naming people and accused, and I didn't mean it as an insult, but I was like listening to it. I was like, oh, they could take that the wrong way, and they never did anything on me, you know. So I did keep beeping stuff out. But
it's not our usual tirade about the children of Springfield, is it?
And the fact they're all SOPs. No, it was like three different people, and I was like, they've never did anything on me, and it does. I'm like, nothing libelous or anything. I was like, that's not. I'm not gonna say that. You know, I'm not gonna say that about them, because people are petty, and they'll never tell you that they took it badly, but they will find a way to get you.
They'll internalize it. They'll let it brew and stew, yeah. And then it comes back on you.
And the way I know that is because I'm like that.
Yeah, and also, man, if you and like, you know what people are saying about you behind your back isn't good. You just know.
No. Oh,
no, I know. It's true. Actually, I could do it being a little bit more like that. One of my biggest failings is I'll tend to just tell people, like, oh yeah, I fucking hate you, or like, oh, you. Whereas, like, that's not the move.
Why do you hate me? I'm the one being authentic to your face about how much I
which
hate
is what everybody claims to. It's what everyone claims to want. Well, let me tell you, it puts you at a distinct disadvantage.
Everybody was talking about your smell. It wasn't just me. But I'm the only one with the guts to tell you.
I believed you when you said you would respect me more for it. But it turns out.
I just want honesty. You don't. You want to feel good about yourself.
It's why you have to look at people's actions and not what they and ignore the lies they're telling you, because in fact they often don't match up. But you know what? I wouldn't have even minded, but hold on a second, I'll stop there. Yes, you would have. Yes, you would have. That's never been true. Well, I wouldn't have minded, except, you know, he said it behind my bollocks. Bollocks. You mind it because you found out. But, you wouldn't have minded if you didn't know.
Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? Because before you knew, you didn't care.
You didn't care, exactly.
It's like that Norm, just to bring it back to Norm MacDonald.
I was thinking the same one, well, I think.
The Bill Cosby one, he's like,
yes. So,
no, the worst part was the hypocrisy. Ah, for me, the worst part was the raping.
You never get any rapists that are just like, I love raping. Just can't get enough of it. Well, at least he's not a hypocrite, and that's the worst part.
That's the worst part.
The worst part was the hypocrisy.
God, I'll tell you what. I know we've been over it. Since he died, but I love Norm MacDonald and I hate what he's doing to my YouTube. I can't both watch Norm MacDonald and not be served a lot of also very racist stuff.
There's nothing wrong with a nice tasty dinner with a bowl of ice cream afterwards, Gavin. Down into the racism, why not?
I can only block so many channels, or like, this content is not for me, this content is blah, 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 and it just, it's like a fucking hydra of stuff,
honestly, guys. I think there's something else going on, because I've watched, I would say, loads of Norm in the last couple of weeks, and I wouldn't have run away from the old, like, you know, Bill Burr. I'm literally going to see Dave Chappelle in 2 days time. Like, I'm in that sphere. I went to my YouTube here and it's all just nerd shit and late night talk shows.
Fucking, what are you, like, okay, maybe I'm in some weird fucking subset of people who, like, choose to watch Norm MacDonald, Dave Chappelle, food videos, and chess content. And they took all of those four factors and were like, oh, this guy's a fucking racist. He's like, oh, this guy always, likes.
He only watches chess videos that are about starting in, as white. Hey, that's the canary in the coal mine.
No point in looking at, yeah.
I would have to think what's probably protecting you, Jack, is that you are watching the late night talk show stuff. Because that's like, that I that probably exists in the universe that, like, is, I don't know. That's probably protecting you, I think, because they're
it sees my Norm as the edge of that, not the edge of being an incel. Mm.
Like, if anything, the late night talk show stuff is too careful. Like, I get why it has to be, because it's on, like,
it's on television.
Broadcast. It's broad by definition, yeah.
Yeah, but it, like, it isn't, none of it's funny. And maybe none of it ever was. Maybe that's why stuff like when you would see like a clip of Norm on Letterman or something, that it stood out. Maybe that's why, because maybe it never was. And I'm just remembering a time that never existed. But like that, it's so milquetoast at the moment, the American.
The late night. Yeah. Just very, milquetoast is kind of the perfect word for it. It's just people who, you know, some of whom are very talented and some of whom are not very talented. But the problem is the very talented people are doing the exact same thing as the untalented people.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking hosts here as well. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're, the know, difference between Colbert and Corden is not that big.
It's not that big. And they're like very different. Now, I think there's a lot of hate on James Corden. And I kind of get it. But I don't fully get it.
I watch a decent amount of his stuff. I'll throw it on, like, you know, if I'm cooking something, I'll throw on his monologue in the background, as I will with like Colbert and Seth Meyers. I enjoy James Corden. Now, I don't enjoy, I don't watch his movies, because that's not what he is to me. That's what's going on. Garbage.
But I don't watch any of his late night stuff. I think I watch maybe a bit of League of Their Own, which, like, was perfectly reasonable. Sky One, like
light entertainment
panel show, light entertainment. It was grand. It was nothing spectacular, nothing that broke the mold. It was excellent kind of popcorn for the mind. And Gavin and Stacey is absolutely amazing, which he wrote with Ruth Jones. So like, I get it. He's probably much more successful than he should be. You know, there's probably, and I think a fair amount of jealousy that James Corden is like, has broken entirely in the US. Whereas, you know, I'm not sure if you define him as a comedian, but like where much more talented comedians have failed and he has succeeded. And there's now an element of jealousy there. But I don't know that he's like everything that's wrong with comedy or everything that's wrong with entertainment. I think that
he
serves a purpose.
He isn't, and he does. But I think I sort of understand more now where a lot of the hatred comes from. Okay, and there's a possibility that
it's proper hatred as well from people. Like it's not this like, oh, I hate James Corden. It's like people really, really don't like him.
Yeah,
I don't. I admit I don't take to him, but I don't think he's not my kind of thing, and I don't think he was ever going to be. So I don't hold his success against him. But I think a lot of it comes from, and again, none of these stories might be true. But there's a bunch of stories out there about him being an absolute arsehole.
Oh, are there?
Wouldn't surprise.
Now,
yeah,
I don't personally think that should affect your enjoyment. Assuming he's not literally like killing or raping people or something, you know, like that. I don't think you should really let that affect your enjoyment of the guy. But I think so much of what he's selling of himself, and I don't think people are even consciously necessarily know this, but so much of what he's selling is the like, hey, it's
the
me.
Affability. Yeah. The get on with everybody. Yeah.
I think then when you hear stories about him being like a jerk to like wait staff, or like there's one where he like showed up to a meeting of the I think it was like the writers union to explain why he needed them to be paid less so he could hire assistants. Yeah. Kind of not even like that's not even To be honest, Richard, that's not even a bad thing. I mean, it's just so tone deaf and so
That seems like so ignorant.
It does, like, I wonder, like, is not is he alone? That like a lot, I imagine a lot of celebrities are arseholes. But he turned like as soon as Gavin and Stacey was a success, basically, he essentially like jumped at the opportunity to be a celebrity, be in that world, be best mates with David Beckham. And I wonder, did he just like, I don't know.
He's a mark for himself.
He's a mark for himself. Yeah. He's a mark for himself. Exactly.
Well, yeah. Like, it's really, people are doing that.
You expect David Beckham to act like that. Cause David Beckham, you know, had like, you know, 15 years as the most famous footballer in the world. And as well as like being a model as well. Blah, blah, blah. Whereas James Corden kind of shot to success. And then jumped into this different world where maybe he felt he needed to act a certain way, or maybe it, you know, revealed the most awful parts of his personality that he couldn't kind of, I don't know, there wasn't a period of adjustment.
He also might just be, he might just be bad at being that.
Yeah. Like,
I bet if you really wanted to argue for your writer to be paid less so you could have assistance, I bet there's ways that like other people in his position have figured out to sort of make that happen without it ever having to seem like he had to do it.
It's called firing the biggest paid writers, keeping your three closest friends who are the best paid writers, and then hiring a bunch of new lower paid writers.
well, whatever it is that he would have to do. And similarly, I think you kind of touched on it as well there, Gavin. It's like, it's okay for, I don't think any less of John McEnroe if he's horrible to a waitress. I sort of think he would be.
And that feeds into your thing as well, Manus, which is like, he's selling his affability. He's selling that he's a nice guy. And whereas David Beckham is selling that he's a good-looking, talented footballer. Yeah. And John McEnroe is selling that he's like the most explosive man on a tennis court, you know? And Jimmy Carr, I suppose, as like a counterbalance, is selling that he's like quite a harsh, acerbic, dry humor.
Yeah.
And yes, he turns up, you know, 2 hours or an hour before every show, signs autographs, gets pictures with fans. And on the flip side, I think people absolutely adore Jimmy Carr for that, because you don't expect it.
Yeah, there's different levels of it. Like in some senses, it would take a... I don't think Jimmy Carr or someone like that relies on having a mystique as such.
No, so and Jimmy Carr is a bad example, I suppose, because like, I suppose success in comedy, everybody is like, there's always going to be a level of hatred until you die, you know?
Yes, like, and then everyone
loves you. It's like,
or you get quite old enough. You can get to a certain age where you stop being funny.
You could be Rob Reiner, yeah.
But I'm like, and people hated him when he was younger, for sure, you know. Mm. But there is and maybe it's sort of missing from modern celebrity a bit, but like, I don't think anyone wanted Mick Jagger to be like hanging around signing autographs like for 3 years.
Sort of want
him to flounce off.
Sure. Did you ever hear John Mulaney's story about riding with Mick Jagger?
Yeah, we've actually talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah, he's like, Diet Coke, and then one just appears. And of course it does, because he's Mick Jagger. And what else could he possibly
He just hasn't. In fact, it's amazing he's as normal as he is. But like, he would interrupt like in the middle of a pitch, and he'd go, not funny!
Not funny.
And I think people sort of want Mick Jagger to be
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
The mystique would sort of go away if he was tweeting about the breakfast he was making every day. You know, that would sort of be shit. But we want, if you like James Corden a bit, you want him to be like that. You don't want, in fact, it's unfair to him, because you almost wouldn't allow him, there's enough stories where I don't think this is necessarily true, but you almost wouldn't allow him, like, I bet he's having a shit day. Like, there's a story about him completely ignoring his baby on an airplane, and I've just given away the punchline, so it's ruined the story, because the story starts with like explaining how sound James Corden was being unreasonable about this crying child who was sat next to him on an airplane. But the punchline is that his wife picks up the baby and goes, James, would you ever take the fucking suitcases down? It's his baby.
Do you want to be moved? No, I'm all right.
Oh, sorry. That is fucking excellent. As a gag, as like...
Yeah.
I could see like that in I could see that in I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also, like, if it was someone else, you'd imagine they were in on it. Like, if Ross Dungan did that, I think honest to God, the funniest thing in the world. And it was entirely on purpose. But, you know, I don't know if you can give James Corden credit.
No, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know. And again, if it was an isolated incident, or if he was sort of known, like, if you found out Ross Dungan did that, if you knew him, I know he's not a famous person. He's more famous than we are. But he's more accomplished than we are anyway. I think he would run a million miles from any sort of actual fame. He wouldn't mind being notable in his field, but I don't think he would like to be approached or bothered. But knowing that, you'd be like, yeah, that is the funniest thing in the world that Ross did that. Like, because you have the
history of
other stuff.
There's a lot of real life, easy to use jokes that I have stolen from Ross Dungan. I think my favorite one is if you're just in a room with someone and you're like, oh, sorry, and you take a call and you have this long, detailed conversation, and you just immediately hang up and say, wrong number.
Very good. Easy.
And it always pops the person in the room. And it's so easy, it's so effective. And it's the kind of thing that like reminds you, number one, how brilliant he is, and number two, that you're a shadow of him.
Yeah.
A bunch of them only work if you're him, like adding extraneous details and false details about, like, when someone asks you, you know this person, you go, oh yeah, his house burned down.
Stupid. Like, oh yeah, such a stupid guy.
With all the parrots, or something like that. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's... And you might never find out. He'll just say it, and he doesn't care if, like, the person gets it or doesn't. Like, sometimes it's just for an audience of one. So, I would watch more late-night television if Ross Dungan was the host. I'm not sure America is ready for Ross Duncan.
Not yet.
Ross Duncan is the only reason I wish Ireland had a like 30 minute a week, let's be honest, late night style show where it's like, here's 15 pretty funny minutes and then a couple of interviews.
He wouldn't want
to
do it.
We have to
no, I wouldn't want him to host it, but I would want him to write the first 15 minutes.
He could write the first, he could do that.
Yeah.
There was, speaking of not making it, not getting over in America, there was a Boomtown Rats documentary on the other night. And I know what you're thinking. Just one?
No, Mattis, I mean, surely you need like a four-part series to cover their two good songs.
Hey, but they're bangers.
They are bangers. And in fact, I can't remember the name of the second one.
I'm assuming you're talking about Rat Trap and I Don't Like Monday.
Rat Trap, yes, Rat Trap.
Still, the Justin version was better. It featured Bob. It wasn't like just Justin going off and doing it as he's wont to do if he doesn't get permission. I think that's probably why Bob was like, yeah, I guess I fucking will do the Justin one if he's just going to do it otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, it's going to be better. I might want to just take credit for it, you know.
Yeah, well, the Ken Burns Boomtown Rats documentary episode that had Dustin, that just focused on Dustin, was really quite insightful, I thought. Yeah. Who could have thought you got 17 hours out of just the Boomtown Rats?
They were really going through how important musically the Boomtown Rats were. And I guess my mother was glued to it. So I guess if you were Irish of a certain age, and like you two hadn't happened yet, so I guess it was just mad that someone was on Top of the Pops. Like, you know.
But
they're going on about why you didn't make it in America. And granted, yeah, like I Don't Like Monday is good enough that like it would be a hit anyway.
Yeah.
Rat Trap was of its time and I think it's a belter. But I could see why it wouldn't have necessarily knocked down doors. But there's story after story of Bob just being an arsehole. to like everyone who could help him in America. He's like, and so yeah, and this is like Bob is like involved. It's like, yeah, so we went to, you know, we go to radio stations and like I'd be going in there and they'd be saying, yeah. You've been compared to Bruce Springsteen, and he's like on a New Jersey radio station. So yeah, I always thought Bruce Springsteen was a bit crap. Yeah, we write much better songs than Bruce, you know. And I guess he was trying to be funny. I Don't Like Monday
is hardly like a heart wrencher.
And I guess he was trying to be funny, but maybe not. I don't fucking know.
Maybe not. Yeah. For someone who's just met Bob Geldof, like, I know Bob Geldof years now. Me and Bob go way back.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure if it's funny or not. I'm not sure if he's joking or not. So someone who's just met him.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it is hilarious. Like, because like, as well, like, no, like he's on like the Merv Griffin show and he's like, Merv's asking him a question. He's going, what kind of name is Merv anyway? Merv sounds like a bad hairdo, you might get. This is an old man. His audience don't want to, give yourself a chance, Bob. Give yourself a fucking chance, like.
What kind of name is, we've got a dumb name is Merv, big dumbass.
Like, if you're the other guys in the Boomtown Rats, you've got to be sitting there going, okay, we do need Bob, because let's be honest, we're the other guys in the Boomtown Rats.
Yeah.
But like, couldn't we get a Bob, but for talking to people?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a non playing captain. Like, could we get Padraig Harrington? He'd get over great.
He was.
He's a mere boy at this point.
But try sticking his voice on the radio, you know, in interviews.
I also don't like Mondays.
Actually, I don't mind Mondays. Got a few hours of the driving range, then a massage. You know? So I don't know what Bob could have done. There's every chance they wouldn't have made it anyway. They mailed thousands of dead rats as part of their promotional material.
What the?
To like radio DJs. Oh, we're the Boomtown Rats. Like, we're the Boomtown Rats. So if we send dead rats, that'll be great. I don't know that that was Bob.
I don't know why they didn't get over.
I mean, there's every chance they could have worked their arse off, said all the right things, and still been one of those, like, oh, well, it didn't quite work out for us.
Yeah.
Stories. But Aslan were the same. It's like, we got, so we got to America, and of course, well, heroin was big, so we all started doing that straight away. Christy, for the love of God, get famous first. Don't just dive into the heroin.
I never really followed any of the like bands breaking America like narrative. I know it's like a well-trodden thing of like all sorts of bands from the UK trying to go over, break the biggest market in the world, and from Ireland similarly. And like, you know, U2, obviously, global hit. The Pogues, I think, did quite well. Because they kind of really fed into the Irish American psyche.
They also kind of did what you have to do over there, which is just like, okay, if I have to go play, because nobody fucking knows me over here yet, so if I have to go to Boston and just play like corner bars and stuff until I get a following, you know.
Sure, man. You two in Germany, putting in fucking, what, 8-hour shifts of just 5-hour days of doing
working in the coal mines. It was bizarre that worked.
It was weird. Yeah.
But those miners had loads of cousins in radio.
Did they do that too? As well as the Beatles?
Yes, I think they kind of, I don't know.
Just copied the Beatles.
I don't know if they were like, the Beatles did it and it worked. But yeah, I think they were all about the just the club scene, man.
The one that I remember from my youth, which I think, what age was that? Like 12, 13, was like The Darkness trying to break America. And like, it was just like, yeah, I really think that America's ready for this sound. Like, oh, guys, like, release a second album here. Just like, sell it well. I mean, I don't think it's going to work out for the novelty band The Darkness.
You guys need a cult following. And you really need to just grind that out. But the best music documentaries always are, or often are, those ones where they don't make it. Because the ones of like properly famous people, they always put in like these narratives where like, oh, it nearly didn't work, and oh, this went bad, and it went bad, and then it got good. But if you actually look at what they're, again, look at what happened rather than the lies people tell you. Like if you watch I enjoyed the big Tom Petty documentary, 4 hours long on BBC4, but it's basically a story of, yeah, Tom basically got signed when he was 14, and then it was a great big success forever from there. That's basically what it was. Yeah, everything else was nonsense. The Eagles won again, loved it, but it was like, so yeah, they got, again, signed immediately to work with Linda Ronstadt, and then, well, they weren't really sure if they were going to be their own success on their own, but then they were.
I haven't seen it. I meant to watch it when it came out, and I haven't thought about it in years. The Anvil documentary.
Oh, it's great.
Apparently excellent. Yeah, seen it.
I mean, I would recommend the Anvil, like, it, because it really does. It's not the opposite of how you would write a story, but it's a different type of story where they pretty much start like on top, like inventing a genre and being the biggest thing in that, and then just descending into whatever they did, and then it has a nice sort of contrived ending, but it's real. It's like, it's them failing again and again and again and again and again and again from different angles until you really like them, and it's fun. It has a lot of, it's very Spinal Tappy but real, and Anvil is great. There's a Dandy Warhols one that was actually like a Portland music scene one called Dig. It ends up kind of basically tracking Dandy Warhols and Brian Jonestown Massacre, and Danny Warhol succeeded, and Brian Jonestown Massacre very much didn't, and it was largely because of the personality of their lead man, Anton Newcombe, who was a fucking lunatic. And like, if you were to look at the two bands starting off, you certainly would have thought Brian Jonestown Massacre would have been the one to make it, and it was the other way around. And I don't know how true that is. That might again just be some narrative thing that they put in, but it's you kind of have to have the failure, because how often can you watch it being like, so yeah, Johnny Cash, he just walked into Sun Records and Sam Phillips was like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're definitely already good enough, so yeah, no problem. Elvis, 15-year-old Elvis Presley was just picking corn in his cornfield, and someone saw him because clearly, and said, yeah, you'll do. I mean, that wasn't what really happened in the Elvis one. And the Elvis ones are fun for its own reason, in that, like, He got to both die young and live old enough, live long enough to be old and uncool. He got both humiliations.
Yeah, yeah. God, what age really did Elvis die at?
He was like 42, I think. So he wasn't young enough.
It's just like, more like, yeah, it's both tragic and also, yeah, fuck, that is the sweet spot. 42.
Just long enough, the expectation is still there. Like, athletes can play until 42 now. But also, like, so you don't get any of the credit of having had been great. People are just like, and more? And more from
and you don't get 15 more years if he'd managed to survive, which if you read the accounts of his last days, he was very unlikely to do. But 15 more years if he'd managed to survive, Rick Rubin would have probably been making American 2 with Elvis instead of with Johnny Cash. Do you know what I mean?
God, he could he could debatably still be alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So he like he died at like the worst possible time because like Johnny Cash went through that like hokey Las Vegas phase too. I don't think he played Vegas, but he was like playing like the Johnny Cash show on TV and stuff. But then he lived long enough for people to look back and go like, oh yeah. And then he had a late career resurgence and Johnny Cash is cool forever now.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix cool forever because he died at 27. Wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah. No, wouldn't. Yeah. Definitely not.
One of the big benefits of not being very talented is that, because I would have died for sure. If at like 25, it had been like, here's everything. Here it all is. Because I went close enough to it a few times with no success. You know, so if you could imagine what it would be like. But again, Jimi Hendrix school forever.
Elvis, it's not going to be a sidetrack. It's just going to be a brief sidebar. Is one of the YouTube recommendations I got recently that I watched was just a short of Andre 3000 explaining why he no longer is rapping. And he's just like, essentially, it's called hip hop. The first part of that is hip, as in like cool, as in with it. And the older you get, the less cool you are, the less with it you are, the less like on the cutting edge you are. So you're just this old man copying the trends of the 20-year-old, and that's just not cool. So let them at it. I'm done. And it was like that. The coolest fucking thing I've ever heard. I'm not cool anymore.
It's made him so cool.
Yeah,
but it's like having your headphones tangled in your pocket. There's like a million ways to be uncool, and there's kind of only one way to be cool. And like you see it all the time with like it's like, oh, old man's out of touch, doesn't know what the kids are doing. And yeah, that is uncool. But it's like equally, if not more, uncool with look at old man there trying to keep up with all the trends. It's like you can't fucking win. The only way
you
to
can't
win
fucking
is to
win.
Not, is to
the
not
only
play.
Way to win the game is to stop playing, you know?
Yeah, and I get it. I'd like to think though that in reality he wasn't that cool and just no one will work with him because he's such a shit. I mean, I don't know.
He is Corden-esque.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. He probably is what he seems to be, but like it's just interesting. It'd be interesting to be like, man, like Rick James, I just had to stop making music after a while because it wasn't. No, Rick, I'm fairly sure you were in jail. Rick, just to be clear.
We remember what happened, Rick.
Yeah, we were there.
You might not. You might not remember, but we do. Good man, Rick James. I also didn't live long enough to have a late career revival. Or rather, he did, but it was in the form of a Dave Chappelle sketch.
Yeah. Guys, I'm seeing Dave Chappelle on Thursday.
That's exciting.
That is.
He has a new
exciting.
Show. He has a new show on Netflix.
I haven't watched it yet, but I hear the usual kind of controversy.
Are you getting the? Is it the same show, or is it like a different show to the one that's on Netflix?
I doubt it. Considering his show only came out last week, I imagine this will be
similar enough.
I don't know though. I think the Dunn will. He may be big enough to where he'll have to, but generally by the time you put a special out.
It's like
already
a year.
You recorded at the end of its tour.
You're finished with it, Mike.
I think this will mostly be talking about the consequences of the special.
Right.
Or something like that.
It's funny because I've seen a bunch of criticism of it as well. And like, it would lead me to believe that he says some things he shouldn't say. But I read very similar things about Sticks. Was Sticks and Stones the one before this?
Yeah, maybe it was the Bird Revelation.
Maybe it was whichever his last one was. I remember reading like, oh, this you could skip this. It's just the usual blah blah blah. And then I watch it and I was like, oh, I mean, I can see why people didn't like it, but this is quite brilliant. It certainly in parts. So I don't know. I will watch it if I haven't got around to it yet.
Well, I haven't booked my flights yet, and so if anyone,
where is he? He's clearly not coming to Ireland.
Let me guess. No, Vegas.
Just London, thank God. But yeah, I need a flight out Thursday morning. We're recording this Tuesday night. I have yet to book flights, and I have a spare ticket. So
if anyone can quick turn, be in London. Yeah,
he's quite capable as well of just kind of not doing what you might think a traditional show would be. Like, he could just sit down and talk to you for 2 hours. You specifically. I think his audience would put up with it. Like, I mean, there's plenty of comedians who could do that. But I think people sort of know that might happen if they go to see Dave Chappelle. Or he might just go, and here's three bands.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. We can get a report from Chappelle.
Yeah, excited to hear what it's like.
Yeah.
I might even try and give the new Netflix one a go in between here and now. If I'm not too busy with my job.
It's just crazy busy around here, isn't it?
Yeah, I love my favorite part of my job. Lunch. but seriously, PE is my favorite subject in work. If you found out that the civil service had like PE twice a week, you'd believe it. You'd be
I've seen the fat shits that walk out of those offices. Yeah, I wouldn't believe it at work.
Well, those guys always forget their gear because they get bullied in the showers. Because it's school.
Triple lunch.
The civil service is school. There is school.
I revealed to Joyce earlier this week, maybe last week, that I used to skip PE all the time. Like, not surprising to the people in this call, I imagine. Because you know,
you would embarrass the other students with your
muscles. Because I would embarrass your length. With my massive muscles, and I just didn't want to, I just didn't want to embarrass them. Yeah. But thinking back on it, it was a real mistake. And if there was an opportunity to play football for 40 minutes in my day-to-day now,
I would
eat that shit up for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because once you get past that, like, you're not going to play professional football, and that'll happen to me someday. But once you get past that, football becomes fun. It's like, I can just, it doesn't matter if I make
it. It doesn't need to. Yeah. Not everything is like leading to this big moment where I score the winning penalty in the Champions League for Barcelona,
Going to take my own enjoyment out of like, I'll just try and do that slightly better this time. Like, whatever, and football is tremendous fun. And it is kind of sad when like men realize that at 45 and then they're trying to play five aside and they're completely out of shape. It's like, brother, you could have been doing this during your prime years. But hey, that's life. Keeping in mind that Jack has to get out of here, what do we think of the, by mandate of the program, he's free, he's just, we're not going to let him stay on any longer. What do we think of the beer?
Jack, I'll let you go first.
I didn't hate it, and I expected that I would. And maybe this is an expectation versus reality bump that this is getting. This is fine. It kind of faded into the background for me, which is a pleasant surprise for a wheat beer. Not that wheaty. I will say, as it has settled, and you may even be able to see this on the camera, or as it has warmed up, it now does not pass or fail the finger test.
I thought that was because I poured the bottom out. But yeah, I have the exact thing. It's much more opaque.
Yeah, wouldn't you think it would be the other way? Like, wouldn't a warmer liquid hold more dissolved solids?
There's a little sediment in the bottom when you do a little sip, you know, like, there's some shit going on.
You would think as it cooled, more of whatever that is would fall out of solution and would become opaque. You would think it would be the other way around.
I actually think it's warm, it's just settling, actually, now that I think about it. I think you're right, Manus, that the temperature maybe isn't the thing. Maybe it's the time.
Yeah, or did you have to double pour because the can is bigger than your glass?
I did have to double pour.
Oh, it was probably set at the bottom then.
I didn't notice the difference when I double poured, and I did check. Anyway, it's fine. It's pretty good. If you like wheat beers, this might be a little weak for your taste. I would give this a 6.5 though for me.
Nice. This grew on me. First taste was bad, but I think I can't blame that on the beer because it was pretty warm. Then it did kind of get better, and I think the second pour, what I would recommend maybe is storing this sideways, maybe rolling the can a little bit, kind of, because the sediment or whatever it is at the bottom that made it more opaque also made it tastier. Yeah. I felt that it was much nice. It's much nicer now than it was at the start. At the start, it was just like, all I was getting was wheat, and it was kind of like raw wheat, even. I don't know. It was just like not particularly nice at all. But yeah, much better now. And yeah, I think it not being nice is kind of my fault. So I'm going to give it a 6. I think it's nice. And it's one that you should pick up, especially if you're a fan of wheat beers.
Yep.
Cool. Puts out a final countdown score of 12.5 and a total score of 6.25.
Yeah,
that's right, baby.
I have to check that on the abacus, but it is correct. Which leaves us only one thing to choose to, and it is to the career sabotage, the walking career sabotage that is Bob Geldof.
The walking career sabotage that is Bob Geldof.
Here's to Bob. Here's to you, Bob Geldof.
Here's to you. Bob.
Bruce Springsteen's a bit of a cat.
Sure, he can. Sure, he likes to have his E Street Band, but can he croon?
You wouldn't get a clown to fix the John.
To rake of the John. Robert Goulet.
Oh, excellent. What a boss move. Yeah, while I have you.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.